Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So, continuing my coverage of Rain Dance Immersive 2025, today's episode is with a piece called What is Virtual Art Part 1? So this is by Jessian, who runs the Virtual Museum of Virtual Art, which has previously had a piece called The Thickness of Calligraphy, which was at Rain Dance a couple of years ago, and was actually the winner of the Best Immersive Art Experience. So highly recommend that you go check that out, because that's also an amazing experience. But today's episode, we're going to be talking around where this all began, which is actually the first project that Jessian started work on before he did The Thickness of Calligraphy piece. And it's featuring four different artists, and he's got this conceit where you're walking into this museum. And so his background is as an architect. And so he's creating these exhibition spaces to not only explore the topic of what is virtual art, but starting to really explore the concept of how to actually exhibit this virtual art. And so building these custom worlds within this VR chat world, and then kind of stitching them all together, creating this whole pathway that gives you this immersive experience that is allowing you to get a direct experience for some of these different conceits of perspective, of shadows. Of the fourth episode is looking at these huge sculptures and finding new ways of creating these pathways as you walk up, and finding ways to kind of animate everything around. And it's just a really brilliant piece that is exploring all these different concepts of not only what is virtual art within itself, but also new pragmatic ways of exhibiting that virtual art. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Jessian happened on Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025, as part of my broader Rain Dance Immersive 2025 coverage. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Hi, my name is Jessian Huang, and I'm the curator of VMOVA. VMOVA is Virtual Museum of Virtual Art, which is a virtual museum usually hold virtual exhibitions on VRChat platform. And I suppose we have already held two formal exhibitions by now. Yeah.
Great. And maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into VR. And, you know, one of the things that I'd like to do on the podcast is get a bit more context as to different backgrounds that people have, different design disciplines that they're bringing in, just to give a sense of, you know, what kind of influences you're bringing into the art that you're making within VR.
I started to use virtual reality from about 10 years ago, in 2016. And at that time, I was a student in London to learn architecture. And at the very beginning, I just tried to use VR to do some simple spatial experience to let the teachers and the students to try my architectural design and the building, the virtual building, before we can really build it. And after that, I actually was influenced by the tech because it's already beyond my imagination at that time. So after that, I think the simple spatial experience not enough for me. So I tried to combine with games and movies. And it's also two main hobby of in my life. So I tried to make some interactive in the experience and to add some storytelling stuff in the experience. But at that stage, it's totally student projects at most. And after we graduate, I invented some sort of algorithm. It's what we call redirected walking algorithm. The purpose is to solve the people will feel dizzy or feel uncomfortable when they spend too much time in virtual reality. Many people can stay only like half an hour at most. And we try to find a way, some software way, not hardware, to redirect the people's sense of direction, because actually we learned about space. So we know how inaccuracy people have to judge the direction. And the algorithm is our student project, but we finished it and we got some invest from HTC. So we go back to China to found a company with two other students in my class. And we, three of us, we both are Chinese And we started the company. We do some company stuff. At the very beginning, we only tried exhibitions because at that time, VR is not so well known in people's daily life. Only hardcore tech guys were into virtual reality or game lovers. So the museum or the art center will be the very welcome place to showcase our stuff. So we try to have some exhibitions combined with art because we also try to express some ideas or some concepts of our own. And after that, we also do exhibitions in a shopping mall. Some shopping malls, they will welcome to have some art installations. So we also do some these kinds of project. And after that, we have a chance to collaborate with a movie director. So we actually do some formal project with movies. And it's about 2018. We go back to London and we met Maria. And at that time, our project also won an award on Renaissance Immersive at the very early stages. But because that was a multiplayer experience, so it's not so many people didn't try this kind of stuff. It's also local-based entertainment stuff. So people not only have the VR experience on the chair, they work in a room, use our algorithms so they can only use a small room, but they can work in a very large virtual space and they didn't realize it. They don't use the controller, they just use their foot. Yeah. And after that, we also do some project with game companies because VR games comes to be more popular like 2019. So we do more and more projects with different creators. And we also had our own some sort of LB brand. We try to collaborate with the theater, movie theaters. So we set our experience hall, we call that, but it's the room about 100 square meters, and we set up like six or seven VR headset and the backpack computer to sell the tickets to the movie audience. They will have the our VR experience, not the movie stuff. But we met a COVID very soon, so actually we try to find some new ways. During the COVID time, I try to use VR chat. Actually, this is the first time, and I visit the Renaissance Immersive and other immersive festivals world on VR chat. And I was wondering why can't we have some art experience there? So actually, this beginning idea of the Vimova stuff. And for now, I sometimes do some VR projects as a VR director, but at the same time, I also do the virtual exhibitions. Yeah,
Okay.
maybe that's story.
Great. Yeah, that gives a lot of great context for your journey into the space. Was the thickness of calligraphy with the Virtual Museum of Virtual Art, was that your first VR chat world that you built, or were there anything else that you built before that experience?
Well, I built a few test worlds. So I call it some sort of lab to do the effect, to try the atmosphere of the virtual space. But yeah, the Secrets of Calligraphy is the first formal exhibition.
Okay. And so you feature an artist, Boyan, who does a lot of really amazing calligraphy work that, usually calligraphy is in 2D, but what's it mean to have 3D calligraphy? And so there's a lot of really interesting experimentations and explorations of different ways of showing calligraphy, but also as you're going through this world, you're telling the story of Boyan in a way that you kind of weave this real personal story of Boyan's journey into art and creating these different experiments. And so maybe you could talk a bit about discovering Boyan's artwork and just the process that you went through in order to create this spatial experience of something that was already a spatial art, but also like more of a museum experience in a way that felt like it was a type of museum experience I would go to in physical reality, but a lot of these would be really highly impractical to actually create an exhibition of this scope and scale that you're able to do in VR. So just love to hear a little bit more about your journey and process of discovering Boyan and working with Boyan to feature their art within this piece.
Yeah, actually, it's a lot as I imagined before, because as I have the concept of Vrmova, the first exhibition I tried to do is like, what is virtual art? But for now, it's the second one. But before I started, I tried to make it the first one. But at that time, I found Bo Yan is trying to give up his research. I followed Bo Yan for like 2 or 3 years before we have the exhibition, but he didn't know me. I just follow her on the social media platform. He used TikToks and Bilibili, some video platforms in China. I followed him. I followed many creators, but I told, like, generally, I didn't chat with them. I just like to watch their works and to hit the heart to like them. But I think that time Bo Yan's trying to give up changes my plan, because I feel it's very pity that, because I loved his works very much, but it seems he's suffering and he didn't have the imagine of the future. He tried to go back to his hometown and to do some more simple works in his parents. They think his work is hard to understand because they are like normal farmers. They don't know what is digital art. They even don't know what is 3D calligraphy stuff. They only know calligraphy in very normal ways. So his work makes his life very lonely. And he lives in a big city alone because the COVID. So he lost his last job and he started to make his research full time. So I think this is the moment to change my plan. And because the city he lived and the city I lived are very close, it's only about 100 kilometers away. So I drive to his city and invited him to have a coffee together and to chat, to talk about his story. And actually, that's the first time I know his story. I know what happened behind the works, the 3D calligraphies. And I was very touched by his story. And he's almost at the same age with me, but we share different life tracks. But we share the same love of the artworks. So I think there's some kind of connection, but also some difference between us makes me more curious about his story. And after I know his story, I think to showcase his works is not enough, because like I am the follower of his work. At the very beginning, I only be attracted by the works itself because they're beautiful. I can feel creative in these works, and sometimes I have to admit I don't know how to make these works. So I was attracted by works very simple way, but after I know the story, I think the story makes the works more meaningful, and the works also makes me more curious about what happened before the result. So it comes out that maybe I can do exhibition and some kind of documentary at the same time. I can tell the story of this real life person and also the artworks one by one. Sometimes they like crossed together. So as a result, it becomes the virtual exhibition.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful piece, and I really enjoyed it. And it ended up actually winning the best immersive art experience of that year. And I was actually on the jury, and it just really blew us away in terms of the scope and scale, and both the beauty of the art, but also the story that you told, that you're able to weave those two together. And so, how's Bo Yan doing? Is Bo Yan still making art?
Actually, it's a very good news, actually, because I still keep in touch with Bo Yan in the last 2 years. So I knew he had more chance, more opportunities. He has some collaboration with some famous companies and even with some movie directors in the theater. They would do the title stuff, the 3D calligraphy title stuff before the movie. And for now, he even start his own company to do a physical 3D calligraphies, and he's do some tests on his products. But he gave me a gift, like Ruyi. It's two characters, but in English, it's some kind of as you wish. So it's the first prototype of his real life 3D calligraphies, and he gave me as a gift. So I think he's doing very well.
Oh, that's great. And was that in part because of the exposure that he got from the virtual reality experience that you'd created? Because it sounded like he was very isolated and lonely, and people didn't really understand or have an ability to really see or appreciate his art. So Maybe just talk about the impact of the virtual world that you're able to create featuring his art and what kind of impact that had in terms of raising awareness to what he was doing.
Well, I think it's hard to connect the opportunities and the virtual exhibition directly, but I think the virtual exhibition, what I can show is that the exhibition gives him confidence because, yeah, like you said, he thinks this is really the first time someone appreciated his work, and he likes my works because I also introduced myself to him. So I think this is some sort of special experience, rather than some people on the internet and hit likes on his work, because before that I was that kind of person to him. Yeah, and after that we won the award on Ring Dance Immersive, he feel more confident to invite his parents to the city to tell them, yeah, some kind of small achievement we have gained, and to make his parent more believe him that he's doing something right, he's doing something to have the chance to express himself, to let people see him, to like his works. So I think the connection maybe is more reasonable to affect his confidence, I think. But the opportunities, maybe, I'm not sure, because we don't know that the company will see the reports to see some news about the virtual world, because we don't know, we don't ask them. So yeah, I can't take the credit.
Okay, well, it seems like with your background in architecture that you're able to create these virtual spaces that really feel like a art museum experience where you're able to feature the art but also take us on a spatial journey that feels like we're walking through these really vast spaces. And it's like a big white building that doesn't have a lot of colors in the way that a lot of museums are designed in a similar way so that they can really put the focus on the vividness of the art. And so it sounds like that you started with your second experience that you released, which is What is Virtual Art, which was featured this year in Rain Dance Immersive, which has a lot of really amazing experimentations that you're doing in there in terms of pushing the edge for what kind of things you can do within a virtual space. But just love to hear, first of all, a bit of your process and your influence from architecture as you're developing these virtual museum experiences to be able to feature different types of virtual art. So, yeah, just love to hear a little bit more around your background in architecture and the way that you're approaching how to design and build these spaces.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think the points you mentioned, they are what we're trying to achieve, because actually the virtual architecture looks actually more simple than the real ones, because we don't need to consider about the construction or the material too much. But in the virtual world or in the virtual exhibition, there are two key points try to achieve. The first one is it doesn't draw too much attention from the audience, because I try to keep the attention very, like the intent of the information very comfortable to the audience. If you can remember, almost at any time, the audience will only find one sentence or one small paragraph and one work and one by one. So they don't like walking in a big hall and to see like 10 or too much artworks and too many different texts, and they don't know how to start, and they don't know the order one by one. So the intent of the information is trying to be controlled by the building, by the corridors, and by the direction of the doors. Yeah, and the second purpose is that because the scale is too large, even in the virtual world. In the Boyens exhibition, it's more than hundreds of artworks, and I try to give each artwork the suitable space to each one. So I didn't count, but maybe more than 60 or 70 rooms in the exhibition. So I try to keep the building simple, the wall, the light, or the floor, the stairs. So I try to keep it simple while still trying to save the time I spend too much on the building. Yeah, and what's more is that, oh yeah, I didn't use too much tech stuff in the building, because in the virtual world, many people use jump into one, in two. You can teleport or use too much portals. to make the space more impossible in the real world. But in the Vimova, I try to make the building simple, another way simple, like the real world. Like you think sometimes the building could really be built if we have enough money. And even we jump between the different stage or different unit, the shortcut is also could be possible in the real ways. Because I considered some audience in VRChat, they are not so get used to the controllers. Some, as I know, that some audience from the calligraphy exhibition, they are even older than 60 years old. So they not get too used to the new tech stuffs. So they only need to know to move one by one. And they also didn't use too much hand control to the artworks. The triggers are all on feet. So they only need to walk to some area and trigger the interactions or animations. So I think the another kind of simple way about the beauty.
And when you're designing these spaces, do you typically start with like a blueprint of how you want to have the floor plan laid out, or do you just get into virtuality and start like moving shapes around while you're in VR? Just curious to hear a little bit more around your process of building out these spaces.
Oh, yeah. I don't have the blueprint, actually. I only start each room according to the artwork. So I think they are starting from different rooms, not connected together, and only to design a room, a right size, the feeling I want to give to the audience before or after they have the glimpse of the artworks. And after we have the narrative stuff. So, like the order of the artworks, or order of the rooms, I will connect to the rooms later. And after we connect them, sometimes we will add a little more like liminal space between them to change or to switch the mood or switch the atmosphere between two rooms. And after like stages, because like the exhibitions are too long in Vimova, so some audience cannot finish it one time. So I need to give them the checkpoint or the save point so you can finish like one stage or one unit at one time, maybe next time they go back. So I need to build some kind of center hall or center space to connect this unit. And also the start point and the end point of each unit need to connect back to the center hall. So at that time, I maybe to change the direction or the room, or sometimes the length of a corridor, because they can go back to the center point at the same style. Yeah, so maybe this is this.
That makes sense because, you know, a lot of these works are really quite vast in terms of how big of a space you need. And you also want to create a little bit of a spacing so that you can break it up, look at the overall journey that you're taking people on, and kind of split it up into either equal parts or parts that are thematic. So with the exhibition of What is Virtual Art, you're really exploring this question of what is virtual art, and you're having different experiments, like spatial experiments in each of these different sections where you're pushing the edge of having experiences that you could only have within a virtual space, you know, especially in the fourth part where you're featuring the artwork of Reverse Butcher. And talking to Reverse Butcher, she said that you were really pushing the edge of trying to find new ways of exploring scale and having a pathway so that you could look at these really tall and huge pieces of sculpture, virtual sculpture with really fine detailed textures, but find new ways of walking up and down. But each of these different sections of what is virtual art, you're doing some type of innovative gimmick or experimentation with things that you could only do within VR. And so I'd love to hear a little bit more about your process of as you were exploring this question of what is virtual art. Where did you begin with finding the themes and the artwork and the stories? And yeah, just love to hear a bit about your process of where you began and your intention with exploring this question of what is virtual art.
Yeah, I think the same is the key concept or the key point about what you asked about this part. As you can see, the Vimova's name also contains virtual art as the V and the A in the name. Actually, I tried to read some books. I don't remember which year, but as I introduced myself, I try to connect with different industry, different creators to try to explore what VR can do or what we can do in virtual reality as a new media. We got some result, but I don't think it's enough. And more we tried, I realized that if we treat VR as a new medium, we need to do some creations based on this new medium. So not only borrowed movies, some skills, some approach or games, because this will make VR more like a plug-in stuff to game or to movie, like a new screen to movie or new controller, new headset to like PSVR. Because many people, they don't work in VR industry. They think VR is game stuff, right? So I don't think VR belongs to any industries we already knew now. Maybe it could be some sort new stuff. But if it's a new stuff, where can we find the inspirations? Where can we try to find some examples to build the language of this new medium? So I try to do some more reading stuff like we studied in the school. And one day I find out a book, the name is Virtual Art from Illusion to Immersion. As I remember, the book was pressed by MIT, and it's a new concept to me. The book tells virtual art is not only new stuff about we already have the tech. Virtual art could be recognized as very old stuff like we did in the very ancient architecture design stuff, or the different stories like we shared in this exhibition. So I think it's a totally new viewpoint to see the whole picture, or to see where can we find the bridge or the connection to the classic art forms or designers and the new stuff. We have the connection because even if we need to build something new, it doesn't come from nowhere. Sometimes it just in the history stuffs. Maybe the old form, art form, is not so popular now, not like it was, but the ideas, the concept, or the inspirations, the creations, still could be valuable enough to do the research or even to build some new experience in VR. So like we see in the What is Virtual Art exhibition now is that kind of stuff. So I think the concept of virtual art is the key concept to make this could be imagined in my mind. Actually, at the very beginning, I tried to make some models of these old art forms by myself. I tried to make them more accessible in VR chat and to encourage the creators in VR chat to build some new stuff. But after I collaborate with Bo Yan, I have to admit that my imagination is very limited. I can see many other creators, they could build stuff totally beyond my imagination. So I try to find some new way. So in this time, I try to do some group exhibitions to find the right or suitable artist. Also, I can reach out because sometimes the artist maybe is too famous and I even cannot find the connections. So I try to find the young artist also like at my age. Reverse is also the most professional guys in this for artists. So the other guys, they all from China, so I can talk with them in Chinese. And they're also near to my age, maybe 3 or 4 years older, but also the same age. So we can talk and they can understand my concept very easily. And I have to admit the result also beyond what I planned. Even the artists, they were also sometimes they are surprised by their own works. So I think that's a very happy ending for now, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it sounds like the part of the research process was finding this book called Virtual Art from Illusion to Immersion by MIT Press. It was published in 2002 by Oliver Grau. And so did that form a baseline for you to see the historical examples of the different inspirations of virtual art? And then as you were looking for young artists, both in China and Reverse Bertur is not from China, but
It's from VRChat,
yeah, from
yeah.
VRChat. And so, yeah, I'm just curious to hear around the story that you're putting together, because there's different themes that seem to be, looking at shadow puppets, and then, looking at, perspective painting and versus, what you can do in virtual paintings and virtual art, and, kind of the layered nature of some of the art that people are doing, but then within VR, you're able to break it out and see the spatial nature of it in a new and different way. And so, yeah, just curious to hear a bit of the themes and the stories that you're piecing together, and if you took a lot of inspiration from the book Virtual Art from Illusion to Immersion, or if it was more coming from finding the artists and then forming the story based upon the different types of art that you felt like these artists were doing something unique in the space of virtual realms.
Oh, I think about the book, I think the most important one is about the view, about how we treat the concept of virtual art. But actually, in this exhibition, only the history part, like in the room, we showcase the different stages. That's like referenced some kind of from the book. But actually, when we really prepare the exhibition, it's some kind of not included in the book because I didn't try to find artists just according to what art forms from the book. And actually, the four artists we have in this exhibition, they are totally in different situation when we reach out with them or they reach out to me, because like Reverse is a very professional artist. I can read experience on her website. And I also knew some stories from our friends in VRChat. So I knew what she did and I knew the goal, the concept. And also we talked a lot after we have this collaborate. And the Polaris, actually, he is still a student in Europe. And when he sent me the email, he didn't realize he's going to be the artist. He just thought maybe he can help a little bit about the new exhibition, maybe to help build the room or help to do some test or to build some like working stuff. So he didn't know he's going to be an artist. But after we talked more and I realized he's very good at research and he's very good students to know how to read in stuff, how to combine and to integrate different concept. And after he reading some concept, he knows how to use them in his own creation. So that's very surprised. And after we have some concept to do some prototypes, I encouraged him not to be afraid, artist or not, or other guys who don't think you're artist because what you do is already could be treated as art. And so it's a little bit different. And about Shadow Puppet, he's a friend of mine. We used to be artists in the same exhibition in the real life. So he do showcase his digital art and I do some VR art stuff. So we knew each other for years. And this time I just find something he did last year. And it's very suitable to the virtual art concept, to the theme. So I invited him. And another guy, the Tianju, is a totally new person. I didn't know him before, but I just sent some DM to him and to introduce myself and what I'm trying to do. And he's also an architecture student, so maybe that's a connection. But we're not from the same school. We just have the same direction in the school. So I think if we talk back, it's very random. I don't know what kind of artist I can find, but actually I find more artists more than these four. I talked with them, some guys I talked with them every week. But after we try to summarize this exhibition, they are in different stage, their creation. Someone already finished it, but someone is stuck in some stage. So these four could be combined together. Then I try to do the narrative stuff to make them like one by one. And also like we talked about the building design, I build rooms first and then to connect them like a path. So the story stuff also happens this way. And other artists, when we finish it, it maybe could be in the volume 2 stuff.
Yeah, one of the things that I appreciated from seeing the thickness of calligraphy going into what is virtual art, that some of the rooms you end up seeing the outside, the facade, but then you end up having different ways that you're navigating us to kind of loop back around into different views, like you're going inside of a space or you're kind of walking around a space, but you're having it so that we're revisiting different rooms in a way that felt like it was using all of the space in a way that once you're building some of the rooms, then you kind of exit the room thinking you're done, but then you end up coming back around and seeing it from the inside or seeing it from a different perspective or different angle. And so just curious to hear a little bit more around, like, as an architect, you're trying to figure out how to display some of this art or display the vastness, but also in terms of the flow, you seem to both kind of loop back in new and different ways, but also, do some sort of thing that you could only do within virtual reality, like a little cutscene that you go and take us on a little journey or fly through, or the fourth section with the reverse butcher seemed to be trying to imagine a completely new and different way of exploring the height and scale of virtual art by walking upwards and having things disappear and reappear, things that you could only really do within virtual reality. And so there seems to be a way that you're not only displaying the virtual art, but also trying to do something unique or different that you wouldn't be able to do in physical architecture. And so just curious to hear a little bit about your process of pushing the edge of what's even possible with architecture within a virtual space.
Oh, yeah, I think that's also the part I like in the experience. And yeah, it's about the space and actually also the experience like you described. It's also similar to some movies and games. Sometimes the movie will have two lines of the story or more than two. And when they come across at one point, we just realize, oh, that's the same story. I just have it from another angle of another person, and we realized, oh, it may be a little bit different, like we realized before, but it's a surprise. And like, I also like games very much, and there was a very famous game called Elden Ring, and I also played the games from the same companies and producers, like Dark Souls. So they have very special skills about the spatial design. They sometimes guide the player to go back to the same place to find out a shortcut, or sometimes to open the door in this way or in another way. And sometimes we just find out, oh, this is the mountain I saw at the very beginning, but now I have already arrived there. So I think the experience you've described, I have had them in other experience before, but yeah, and I didn't have them in the real life. I only have them in virtual experience, like movies and games. They're also virtual, not in the real life. And when I try to tell stories or I try to bring some surprise to the audience, I will use the very similar ways in the virtual world in our exhibition. And as a result, sometimes it's when you find out, oh, maybe I have finished the first floor. When I finish it, oh, it's the end, but it also could be a start. It also could be the start of the next stage, and we will see the same works again, but in a totally different way. And the different way could both be impossible in the real world because I didn't feel that limited in the virtual worlds. So I didn't realize maybe it's very special to the VR. But if we try to design and we try to achieve the result or the imagination we have to bring to the audience. Sometimes we just didn't realize that, but as a result, it's already something new we didn't see before. Like the Polaris, he did the theoretical stage, the stage design stuff. Actually, he told me he was just record him is about the preview of this exhibition. That the preview world, I built an architecture stuff about a corridor. It's a virtual one to make it look much longer than it really is. And the Polaris, oh, find out that's what he tried to build before. He was inspired by the theoretical stage and he tried to use it in his creation. And that's the start point. But after what we did, after what we tried, As a result, he could do it dynamically. That's not what we imagined, because even in the real architecture stuff, the architecture is static enough. We cannot move, we cannot see, oh, this just like a painting, but if we go close enough, it becomes a tunnel, like we walk into the painting. That's new stuff we didn't expect, but as a result, it's a surprise to both of us.
Yeah, I'm curious because you're working with Chinese artists and also based in China. When I went to China for the Sandbox Immersive Festival, I had a direct experience of like the Chinese firewall where I couldn't access any of my social media. I couldn't even check my email because it was on Google. And so I know that there is this experience of, not always able to access internet services. And so we hear a lot around the Japanese community within VRChat, but we don't hear as much around the Chinese community within VRChat. So, just curious to hear a bit about if you face any challenges of getting access to VRChat within China, or also just like a little bit around what the Chinese community is like within VRChat. And yeah, just curious to hear a little bit more elaboration on, and if you face any difficulties of gaining access, or if other people in China have any difficulty of getting access to VRChat.
It's totally different actually. Even for example, sometimes I will go to Hong Kong and sometimes I will go to Guangzhou, like I'm in Guangzhou right now, or Shenzhen. It's different cities in China, but there's different rules sometimes. So like the network rules. So if I visit VRChat from Hong Kong, it's very easy. And also the email stuff and the Google and any stuff you can visit. But if I go back to the mainland of China, we need to use VPN, like I'm using right now. If I don't use VPN, I cannot use Discord. So we call it an invisible war between the different network. And some companies, they could make his business, their business and their software, the apps across the world. I don't know how, I don't know why, but sometimes they could, and some companies they couldn't. And as I know, VRChat didn't support the mainland of China officially. So the player in China, they need to find their own way to visit VRChat like we visit Google.
And so, have you had a chance to show some of your work to other people in China then? I'm just curious to hear some of the reactions because, some of the things like thickness of calligraphy is so specific. I mean, the art within itself is beautiful, and I appreciated it not even able to speak any Mandarin or Chinese, or, I couldn't understand the deeper meaning of the language without the text to help interpret and tell what different things meant. But I could imagine if someone were either Mandarin speaking, Chinese speaking, they could get a whole other level of appreciation of artwork like the thickness of calligraphy, just because it is so specific to a language. But yeah, just curious to hear some of the reactions of other Chinese artists or other folks from China that have seen some of the works that you did, especially the thickness of calligraphy.
That's right. Because the calligraphy is a little bit special, and we had two kind of exhibitions in China. It's from like Shanghai International Film Festival. It's also an international festival, but it's held in Shanghai, so the audience is mostly from Shanghai, from China. But it's a little bit different because the experience is very, very special to new audience. Like if we meet some audience in the film festival, maybe he's new to VR, and what he's expected is about 20 or 30 minutes experience. It's some kind of short stuff, but the exhibition takes them more than 1 and even 1.5 an hour, so it's a little bit too long to them, and the length will be the challenge to them. But beyond the time or beyond the what we called the experience of VR, yeah, they like the experience and they were like surprised by what we can achieve. And also the Japanese players, many Japanese players knew Chinese, like Kanji they call it. They also do calligraphy stuff. So I think that's why that exhibition was very popular in Japanese community more than the US or Europe. Actually, in the later of this year, we are going to do the physical exhibit of cichlids of calligraphy in different VR spots, like 40 of them. So there will be dozens of cities in China, and maybe we will have the result then.
Nice. Yeah. And with the main profile that you have these worlds, the VMOVA, the Virtual Museum of Virtual Art, you've got these experiences that are available for people to go see. You also have a number of different other labs or, I guess, experiments, a lab of spatial style and also the lab of spatial relation. So just curious to hear a little bit about some of the other experiments you've been doing within VR and virtual art and what you hope to do here moving forward.
Oh yeah, that's the words we talked about is before the formal exhibition, so it's some test word, and we don't have too much. Even can say we don't have exhibits in these words. This building could be the exhibits itself or some test stuff, and yeah. So maybe I will not update too much in that two words. Just keep it there because some people they visit there time to time. And from now, the Vimova project will be focused on two directions. The first one is what is virtual art? There will be volume 2 and volume 3. And besides, we will also have some solo exhibitions. And for now, there will be another one. It's about AI stuff from some tech guys, but the result is very, very high quality and could be recognized as art. And another one is the second exhibition about sickness of calligraphy, because like we said, Boyan didn't stop his journey and he also got some new stuff. And actually, I don't think I finished it as the last exhibition because we to solve some problems. So we didn't show too much dynamic 3D calligraphy. So like in this time, we could have more interactive one or dynamic one in the second two.
Very cool. Very much looking forward to each of those. And yeah, it sounds like that you've been continuing to expand your knowledge and capabilities of even how to push the edge of virtual art. I did want to give you an opportunity to speak a little bit around the fourth section of your world with Reverse Butcher, because that also seemed to be a lot of innovation in terms of like pushing the edge of what's even possible with exhibiting a sculpture. So just curious to hear a little bit more around what you were thinking and what you were trying to do and working and collaborating with Reverse Butcher. And when I asked her about it, she said, oh, that was all Jessien, who was the mastermind of that ability to take that pathway through those. But just curious to hear a little bit more elaboration on that fourth section featuring the art of Reverse Butcher within the What is Virtual Art exhibition.
Yeah, it is special, and yeah, and actually, it is special in different ways. And for me, she's the only foreign artist from another country, so I need to talk with her in English. And I didn't think we could do it good enough if we talk in real time. So I write to her after we meet in VR chat one or two times. So we do it in text. I write some questions and she sent back the answer of the questions and also with images, maybe links to videos and some kind of this stuff. And as a result, she sent me like two formal documents. The first one is about 70 pages PDF to the questions. And another one is her design about the animation of the sculpture. Yeah, and for the animation stuff is that she tried to do some animations before to showcase her sculptures in different angles because sometimes she will do it in AR or VR, so the angle of the audience will be very limited to one point and cannot see the whole picture from different angles. So she simply makes the sculptures rotating and rotating. And this time I talked to her and I encouraged her very much to do some new kind of stuff because I was touched by another work we didn't show this time, but it's another work she told me it's about her and her wife. So I can see two characters in one work and I can see the relationship, even some emotions between them, and that's very good. So this time I encouraged her very much to try some new stuff to make different characters together and to make them move like closer or further and to rotate like they are together but they are also separated and some kind of stuff. She told me she don't know how to do complicated animations in Unity because she don't know coding and she didn't use the engine too much. And sometimes she rotates the camera in other software to make the videos, but she didn't use too much animations in Unity. So I told her, don't worry about that because actually the animation was a lot too complicated. So she sent me the design about what she wants the characters to do and the speed, the angle, and some kind of virtual image, some kind of sense and the feeling she wants to express. And I do the coding stuff to make them move because it's also lead to connected to the audience step. So we will find out one by one of the characters. And I make the circle or the portal to divide the experience to one, two, three, like the one, two, three characters. And about the platform in the sky. Yeah, and as a result, the exhibition hall is also different to the other units because it has a like no edge space. It doesn't like the other rooms. It's an indoor room. It sometimes looks like in a void and only the sculptures and totally empty as the background. So the style is different. And the angle is also different because I try two different ways to showcase, like to change the scale of the sculpture or to like other ways, but I think it change it affects the feeling. Because if I change the scale at the very glimpse of the sculpture to the audience, it looks like too small and the feeling are totally different. And I also tried what she had the experience in the Raindance Immersive because I also joined the rehearsal and before the Raindance she introduced her work to me just like the way she showcased in the Raindance. Yeah, it's very very free to the audience because we can go each floor and control the angle totally by ourselves. But if I really do that way, I cannot control the information. Like I said, I want to guide the audience and I want to tell the story in the experience to see the exhibits. So if I try the way like she did, I totally cannot control the order, like the intent of the information. So I tried some kind of leeway. And yeah, and I think the first step is that I try to find the angles. Yeah, I try to find the suitable angles to see each characters, like is the platform, the stop point, the checkpoint, people can stop and to see some stuff. The angles find at the very beginning, and they could be the connected dot. And for each dot, I set the angle, the light, because the light will affect the highlight part, because the material have different reflections. So when we change the material, we change the light, we will change the focus of the audience. And also I changed the way to show the textures because reverse show the textures in one time to show all of them. But I want to control the like we said, control the intent of information. So I start with the totally pure white sculpture. So we can focus on the form, on the shape of the body. And when we introduced by the face, by the story and from different stage, I like reveal the whole sculpture one by one steps. So for the first character, we do it like one by one and we fill the different part in different color, different textures. And in the second character, I try to tell the story behind the sculpture, like the totally story happened in the hotel and how did she did the test of the color and do the test on the real papers. So I switched the texture. So only one at one time and switched to the second one, switched to the third one. So totally one at the time. And the third one, because we have already told the result and also the process. So the third one goes to the feelings, to the expressions, and also the music stuff. So we show them at the whole time, but we make it two stages. The first one is only show the colors. So we can see the, if we don't have the details of the texture, only have the colors, the feeling of the sculpture, and then shoot the whole picture, we'll say, oh, it's totally different. The strengths of the expression are more stronger than the only color stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the elaboration, just because the continuous present was the piece that Rivers Butcher had in Radiant, it's immersive, and there's a lot of poetry. And as you go and actually look at the sculptures, there's, in that version that she has, the sculptures are more static. They're just standing there, and there's a series of like invisible floors that you can see through, but you can jump up on and walk on. And so the audience has the ability to walk around and see the sculptures from many different angles, but also from different heights. And so I can definitely see how you took that conceit of open world exploration through these different levels and make it into more of a linear path that you're going upwards. So you still get that experience of looking at it through different heights, but able to move it around, but also display information and to tell the story in a way that was breaking down the process, but also giving a little bit different take of this virtual art. So it was interesting just to see the same style of work, but exhibited in completely different ways. And yeah, I just really appreciated all these kind of architectural innovations that you were doing to create this new way of experiencing her art. So yeah, it was just really great to hear a little bit more around your process around that. But yeah, just also how you were trying to tell the story, but also give a little bit more of a dynamic experience of everything. So yeah, thanks for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Great. Well, I guess as we start to wrap up, I'd love to hear what you think the ultimate potential of virtual reality, virtual art, and kind of virtual architecture might be, and what it might be able to enable. So in other words, where do you think it's going, and what is the kind of most exalted potential? And, you know, once we get there, what do you think that's going to be able to enable?
Oh, yeah, let me see. As we talked before, I think virtuality maybe have totally more possibilities before we can imagine now. And in my perspective, I think it could be treated as a new medium and new stuff, not a sub topic under the mediums we already knew now. And as a new stuff or new media, we need to find or to build or to try to do some tests or experimental stuff to have enough information to analyze, to build some kind of language, some kind of structure or system about the new medium. As we can see now, the history of VR is not known enough. So I think we are still in a very early stage to explore the totally unknown field. And I think for me, I want to share the concept is about affordance. It's also some concept I read from the paper, but it gives me some inspiration. The concept describes, I won't get, because nah, I tried to explain it in English. Yeah, but it talks about example is a key. So we all know keys to something to open a door, to unlock some stuff. So it's a very simple concept. But it also could be a symbol of power because you have the right to control the door or the room. And sometimes if we try to open a package, we don't have a knife in hand. Actually, the key can also help. It could be something like a knife to cut some paper or cut some package stuff. So the concept of affordance is like something to tell, if I don't realize the key could be knife kind of stuff, I will be stuck when I have a package in hand, but I don't have a life. And I think this is some kind of possibility we don't realize now. But the stuff or the medium or the virtuality, it already have the possibility, just wait to be discovered. So what we did in VR, like different projects, and what we did in Vimova, is only tests. We try to find the answer. We try to find the possibilities. And I think we have many good projects to inspire ourselves or to give our confidence to go on this way to chase the answer. But yeah, I totally believe there are more than that. So I think it's too difficult to finish it by any one person. So I think it could be a movement by different creators, different artists, if we believe or if we want to find the answer. Like, what is virtual art is not the exhibition, is not to give the answer, it's just to share the question. We don't know the answer. The artist or the curator, me, or the people who visit the exhibition, I think they are attracted by the question. And even in at the result of the exhibition, we don't define what is virtual art. Like, we don't define the virtuality because I don't think the information or the textures are enough. So I think it's a totally open question. And I think the attitude is what I try to keep and what I try to encourage other creators, because sometimes the creators from the classic art forms, they are very interested in the VR, in VR chat, but they don't think they're professional enough. And also some creators, they are not artists in the real life, but they have the ability, they have the ability to create, to imagine, and sometimes maybe they could do more than what we knew as an artist. So I think to keep it more open and to keep the question like in mind, and maybe we will find something surprised, and maybe after 5 or 10 years we will have a more clear answer. But only in the cases we know, the cancer is just maybe for 1 or 2 years, maybe we'll change the answer, but I think it's good.
Yeah. So if VR is a key that unlocks new things that we don't even know what's on the other side yet, it sounds like that there's an open question as to what even virtual art is, but also what is on the other side of answering that question. We have no idea yet, is some of what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. But like I said, I'm not sure. I don't have any accuracy in my expression, but yeah, I think that's what I want to say.
Awesome. And is there anything else that's left unsaid that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community?
Yeah, I think I want to thank you for inviting me, actually, because I do listen to some podcasts, but they are all in Chinese. So I didn't listen to much English podcasts. And sometimes I will read the script because I can translate them and to understand more easily. So I'm not sure too much about the culture or the habit people who listen to the podcast. I think maybe I could focus on what we talk at the end about the virtuality. I think maybe keep an open mind, or maybe anything you are doing right now. But if you are interested in something new, maybe you didn't have the experience before, but just give it a try. And maybe sometimes the surprise just comes from this kind of experimental lot, only from the professional guys.
Awesome. Well, Jessian, thanks so much for joining me here on the podcast. I'm a big fan of all the different architectural innovations that you're doing within VR chat to display virtual art in new and different ways and, to tell the story and to help to provide new ways of experiencing it and do different experiments within the context of VR and really pushing the edge of what's even possible, but also to put a spotlight on these different artists. And I'm really looking forward to see how this continues to develop, just because I do think that the artists are at the frontiers of pushing the edge. And I think you're, with your own practice of an artist and a curator and an architect yourself, you're also creating new and different ways for us to experience this virtual art. So thanks again for joining me here on the podcast to help break down a little bit more of your journey and your process of creating the Virtual Museum of Virtual Art. So thanks again for joining me here on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kent. I'm very glad that we could have a chat, yeah, today, because actually I really knew a lot about the project that you introduced and what you talked before. Maybe I didn't enjoy the English very much, but I think I appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is a listener-supported podcast, and so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring this coverage. So you can become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.